Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
But hey, we've been in a series here called The Making of a True Disciple. Pastor Daniel has been taking us through and really showing us that there's a difference between those who are on paper, right? I believe in Jesus, and those who are actually being discipled by him. Those who say, I'm just like a fan, I know about him, right? And those who actually know him intimately. You know, there's a difference between knowing somebody up here and actually knowing something in here. I can know so much about celebrities, right? I can know their favorite color, I can know all the stuff, and yet never actually meet them. And there's so many people we know so much about God and his word. We have verses memorized. We have arguments made or logical things we say or we live a certain way. And yet we don't know him, right? We know what it's like to spit out a verse, but do we know what it's like to walk alone on the beach with him? To have a secret history with God that no one else ever has to hear about, right? And that's the difference between someone who's really just a follower versus like a real disciple of Jesus. The disciples walked with him, knew him. And I believe what we're going after today is identity. Because I believe that the greatest wall a lot of times that separates us from going from just like a fan to actually following, intimately knowing, is who we think we are in him. Right? Because I believe the devil's greatest, one of his most strategic things to do against the body of Christ is to block out who you are in God and then what you're called to do. If you don't know who you are in God, you're not going to make a difference for him. Right? And so he's trying to paralyze the body of Christ by convincing them of everything they're not. And today I'm really hoping that God just convinces you of everything you are. And so we're going to go after what is our identity, how did we lose it, what did God do to give it back, and how do we begin to walk in a restored identity, okay? You guys ready for the ride today? Yeah? Awesome. So, hey, quick story for you, though. I used to be a missionary overseas in a bunch of different countries. There was a time when I was living in Cambodia, and it was amazing, saw revival, glory of God break out. It was incredible, right? But physically, it was hard, right? 3 meals a day for 3 months, it was just beans, rice, and Jesus Christ. Like, that's about all I had to eat every day. I lost 25 pounds, and I don't have 25 pounds to lose. Like, it was scary, right? I turned sideways, and people were like, where'd you go, right? And so, basically, they're the locals who were starving. We brought them food. I'd give them food. They'd be like, no, you need it more than I do. And they'd give it back to me, right? And that's embarrassing when they're like, no, please, eat our food. You are sick, right? And so, that's where it was. And so, we're walking. This is how we're living life, but it's glorious. God's moving. And we're walking through the town, and this building's being made. And there's an English sign on the top of the building, which is incredible right there. And it says, coming soon, pizza parlor. We're like, there's a pizza parlor. And it says, free air conditioning. We're like, oh, thank you, Jesus, because it's so hot and humid there. And then it says, free Wi-Fi. And we're like, oh, Jesus is coming back. Like, this is it. This is the glory of God coming to Cambodia, right? And so basically, but we have to wait about a month. So we're waiting. We're walking by it every day, right? Getting ready. Finally, the day comes, grand opening. We go in with the team, and we walk in. It's super hot in there. We're like, oh, there's no AC in here. It's okay. That's fine. We're used to it. We want the pizza. That's why we're here, right? My friend sits down. He says, hey, I want to call home. What's the Wi-Fi? And they say, oh, we don't have the Wi-Fi ready. And we're like, oh, that's okay, that's fine. We're here for the pizza, right? So we sit down, they give us the menu, we're looking at it, oh, it looks beautiful. There's all this food, right? And I'm like, I'm gonna get the meat lovers. I'm gonna give enough protein for a month, right? I'm gonna ride off this thing for a while, right? And so, and then everyone picks their pizzas. The waiter comes by, he's broken English, but it's enough to take our orders. And he says, you know, what do you have? And I say, I'm gonna get the meat lovers pizza. And then he says, oh, we don't have the meat lovers pizza. I'm like, oh, that's okay. That's fine. You order. I'll look. My friend says, I'll have the Hawaiian. Oh, we don't have the Hawaiian pizza. My third friend, I'll have the Supreme. Oh, we don't have the Supreme pizza. Finally, the fourth guy says, what pizza do you have? And he looks at the menu and he goes,
we don't have any pizza. We're like, oh, okay. Well, what about this page? And we turn it over because we're trying to be polite, you know, they're trying, right? And we're like, what about this page? And he looks at the whole page and he goes, we don't have anything on that page. And then we flip over, what about this page? We don't have anything on that page. And we're like, okay, so nothing on this page. Nothing on this page. Nothing on this page, right? What do you have? He says, we have ice cream. We're like, oh, well, ice cream's always from Jesus, especially in Cambodia, right, where it's hot and it's humid. We're like, oh, that's okay. Well, we came here for pizza, but ice cream's good. What are the sizes? You know, there's small and large. How big's the small? And he goes, enough for one person. Oh, okay. How big's the large? Enough for one person. Oh, give me the large, right? I'll go with that. And I'll get vanilla ice cream. Oh, we don't have vanilla ice cream. Oh, I'll take chocolate. We don't have chocolate ice cream. What do you have? We have strawberry ice cream. So the only thing you have in this entire pizza parlor is strawberry ice cream? Yes, sir. We'll get 4 ounces of your enough for one person strawberry ice cream, right? And then we ordered that. We're eating strawberry ice cream. And it was good, but we were so disappointed. We learned something. Just because the sign says pizza parlor does not mean it actually has the very same thing it's advertising for. It doesn't have the Wi-Fi. It doesn't have the AC. Doesn't even have the pizza, the one thing it was literally built and created for. And the Lord reminded me of this story a lot lately. And he talked about how identity, we as Christians, we say, yay, we're Christians on the sign, and we say, we're sons, we're daughters, we know who we are, we're saints, we're ambassadors, and we have all these phrases we throw out all the time, and we hear them all the time, right? But do you actually have it inside of you? Because then the moment says, well, you're a saint. That means you like have the authority of God, like you're clean, you're right? And we say, you must not have much fear in your life because God wiped it away. And we're like, oh, no, I have a lot of fear in my life. Oh, well, you must have a lot of joy because you're a son of God. Oh, not really. I really have a lot of depression and anxiety all the time. Oh, well, that's not what the menu said, but okay. Well, you must forgive everyone because like you're like Jesus. He forgave us. That's everything. Oh, no. I can't forgive them for what they did to me. You don't know. No. Right? Well, what do you have? I have love. Great. That's like the ice cream of God. Like, that's amazing. Love is good. Love is amazing. You must be the most loving. You must love everyone. No. Enough for one person. Maybe if they're my flavor. Maybe if they're Republican. Maybe if they're Democrat. Right? Maybe if they're my ethnicity, my culture, maybe if they like what I like, maybe only if they look like me, maybe if they don't offend me, maybe if they don't rub me the long way, then I have love for them. Enough for one type of people that look just like me. Oh, right? And then we're like, okay, cool, then I'll just have your strawberry ice cream, enough for one person love. That's great. And we've made that Christianity because we have lost our identity of God says, this is your son, this is your daughter. And we focus on all these things we can do for God, trying to get more fruit of the Spirit. But if it's because we've lost our identity and we haven't focused on that, and so none of the other stuff comes through. We need to first get our identity. And you need to get it in you, not just on paper, on the sign, but who is it really inside of you? And so today we're just going after that. There's so much more. And so I want to look at where did we first get our identity? Where did we lose it? How do we get it back? And what does it mean for our lives today? Go to Genesis 1:26. I believe that the first war was over your identity in the garden. Genesis 1:26, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they look together and they say this. They say, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Then God said, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Right there, he just gave you authority over it. He said, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Women, I want you to say, I have dominion over creeps. It says right there in the Bible, over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth, right? Right there. Okay, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created the male and female. He created them, right? Genesis 2:15, it says, and then the Lord placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. The word Eden in the original language, it means the word delight. And so it says that God put them in his delight to tend and watch over it. Your first job, your first calling, before you're a parent, before you're a student, before you have a certain career, your very first job is to steward God's delight in you, to make sure no weeds get in the garden of your intimacy with him, to make sure that you tend and you watch over his connection of delight with you. Anything that tries to get in the way and makes you think God's not delighted in you, you need to pull that thing out of the garden. This is your first job, your first calling. Live into the light. And they didn't earn their way into the garden. They were born in it. You cannot earn your way into the delight of God. You were born into it. You cannot earn it. You just have to receive it, right? The minute you try to work for it, you've already missed it. You can just be born and receive his delight. And so God, what he does, though, is he gave him this calling. He says, you're my heirs. You oversee the garden. And he says that I'm trusting you right now, that you're trusted by God. And what happens is God puts a tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Many of us know this story, but why would God put that there? Because that's what makes it love. Any relationship that is any value requires vulnerability. And so God puts something in the middle of the garden that says, you're allowed to walk away from me, right? Because he doesn't want slaves who have to do everything he says. He wants a bride who chooses him, because that choice makes it love. And she is allowed to hurt his heart, because that's what makes it love. And so the fact that there is a tree in the garden proves we have a loving God who we're always meant to look and see the tree and be like, no, I choose you, God, every day. This is the goal. We're meant to always say a relationship with him is better than anything. The creator's better than the creation every time. But what happens in chapter 3, verse 1, it says that the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any tree in the garden? Another version says, did God actually say this? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees of the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. This is the first time in history that we see God is called a liar, and he's accused of withholding something good. And what was the temptation over? Their identity. You can become like God. You can change your God-given identity. You don't need to receive what God has told you you are. You can actually take it from something else and change who you are. And this is the very first temptation. And can I ask, what was the temptation that the devil gave into that got him thrown out of heaven? He said, I want to be God. And he tried to take it and got thrown out. And he knows this is the very same thing that'll get people thrown out of the garden. If they can question their God-given identities, then they're already taking steps towards separation from God. If I can get you to question who you are, then there's a good chance I'm going to get you to sin. Because it starts there. And we know what they choose. It says, the woman was convinced. She saw the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and she ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. All because of this question. Did God actually say? This is the same thing that the devil does now. Did God actually say you're loved? Did God actually say you're beautiful? Did he actually say you have what it takes? Did God actually say you have a future? Did he actually say you have purpose? Did God actually say you're a conqueror, a son, a daughter?
Your identity, did he really say that? This is the same thing that comes against us. And it's when we start to bite into that, we're starting to take steps away and separating our identity from God, what God created us to be. And we're starting to walk towards the devil. The devil, he will always tempt you with your lack. And he comes up and he says, oh man, you're just a victim. Oh, you got dealt bad cards. Who you are, it's not enough. You need to take things from this world. You need to grab onto things in this world because who you are, who you're created to be, it's not enough. This is exactly what he's doing to them. He says, you're not smart enough. You're not healthy enough. You're not young enough. You're not old enough. You're not mature enough. You're not qualified enough. Your marriage, it's too far gone. That child of yours, it's too far gone. And he'll try to throw your lack right at you, hoping that you try to get the answer from somewhere else. And we have a choice to take authority. Literally, he said, the creepy thing's creeping on the ground. The snake comes up to him. They don't take authority over it. You have a choice to take authority and or to entertain and listen to it. You can listen to the lies about your identity, or you can believe who God said you were. Yeah, you can either eat from that tree of knowledge or turn to the relationship with the Father to get your identity. And every time we choose to believe anything that is contrary to what God says about you, we are choosing to eat from the tree of knowledge once again. Anytime where I'm like, well, this is my insecurity and I'm going to believe that over what God says, what I'm doing is I'm looking at God and I'm looking at the tree of knowledge and I'm saying, I'm going to eat from that one. Right? We're doing this daily again every single time we choose to give in to these fears and insecurities of who we are. Verse 7, at that moment their eyes were open. They suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. You see, the moment we break away from our God-given identity, what happens is God is perfect love. And when we break away from that, there's nothing but just this vacuum of fear and rejection and shame inside of us. And if you give up who God says you are, you will always then begin to feel shameful for who you are. Wherever you agree with fear or shame is the spot where you've given up your God-given identity. If I look at my life and say, well, I'm really afraid of this, that means I'm believing a lie about who I am in God there. If I look at my life and say, I'm really shameful for this part of me, I really don't like this part of me, that's the same spot I'm eating from the tree of knowledge in. And I need to repent and go back to God. And what happens is then, in the midst of their shame, they grab other things. Oh man, rather than going to God and saying they messed up, they go to the fig leaves. They once again go to the creation rather than the creator. And they think, maybe if I can get more of it, I can cover myself up. And we do this, guys, all the time. We run and we look for all the other things to define us. Well, maybe my ethnicity, my skin color, that defines me. Maybe my culture defines me. Maybe my political party defines me. Maybe more money will cover me up. Maybe more entertainment will cover me up. Maybe, and I see this time and time and time again, from youth to college to middle age to older, I see people when they're going through shame or fear or lies about themselves, they'll run into an impure relationship. And so many of them, they'll try to find a false comfort in going out with all these different people or pornography or an affair or sex outside of marriage. And they'll run to these things to try to fill because there's a hole in their heart, an identity hole. And so they're running to these other things to trying to fill them. And they're just fig leaves. And they're not fixing a thing. And they don't realize that their identity is the very temple of God. And what they're doing is they're taking up a bunch of dirt and they're just throwing it in the temple because they don't find value in the temple. They're taking the wedding dress of God and they're just throwing mud on it because they don't see it as beautiful. Right? And it's just fig leaves. A lot of people don't realize too, fig leaves, oh man. Fig leaves, the sap from the branch of the fig tree, if it gets on your skin, it's worse than poison ivy. You get huge, nasty, horrible boils if you get the sap from the figs on you. Fig tree, right? This is the stuff in their newfound wisdom of God, right? That they were like God now. This is the stuff they make underwear out of. And all the angels are like, oh.
you're really like God now. Oh, man, that's some wisdom you got there, man. Right? There's a reason why the fig is not one of the fruits on the Fruit of the Loom emblems. Like, the fig's not there. Because it's a bad idea, right? And so this is their stuff. They try to cover themselves, and they just make the issue even worse. And now they're all rashed up and boiled and nasty, right? And this is what we do, is the very thing that we thought we were grabbing onto to cover up our shame, cover up our fear, cover up who I don't like, we don't realize that that very thing, anything else besides God, it's actually not covering you. It's poisoning you. And you're going to end up even worse off than before. That pornography that was giving me comfort, ruining my marriage. That career that I put my whole life into and I'm obsessed with money, actually took away from the family it was meant to provide for. Right? That even good things, you can do it. Like your kids or your spouse, if you make them your identity, then when they get older and go to college, you're like, I don't have an identity anymore. My identity was I was a father or a mother. Because I've covered myself up with things of this world, right? Even some good things, rather than going to God to be my covering and have God be my identity. And all those relationships I jumped through to get comfort, at the end of the day, my heart's left cold, callous, and numb, right? Genesis 3:8 says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. When you lose your identity, it moves to hiding from God, hiding from God's presence. The area that we're afraid we're hiding from God in, that's the area you lost your identity in. Genesis 3:9. So that's where we are, guys, when we lose our identity. That's the effect it has on us. That's why it's so important. That's why this is one of my number one messages, is you have to know who you are in God. Because it ruins everything. It created the fall in the first place. So what does God do about it? Genesis 3:9, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? The minute they fell, God sent out a calling and said, where are you? God's immediate response, and this is the first thing you have to realize God's doing to you this morning. He's calling out, where are you? God's immediate response was to come looking for them right where they fell. The minute they fell, he already started walking for them, right? He's longing to establish connection with you once again. God, so many people, they think God's angry at them. They think God's mad at them. They think maybe if I just say so many like Hail Marys and I do so many things and I live so holy, then maybe I can have a fresh connection with God once again. And so they hide from him in their mess rather than exposing themselves. And God's walking through this world, walking through saying, where are you? Where did you go? You forgot who you were. You forgot that you're my son. You're my daughter. Jesus is looking for his bride, saying, where'd you go? And oh, that she would finally step out from behind the trees and show herself. Because that's what he's looking for. Man says this in chapter 3:10. He says, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. The way you made me, God, it's not enough, and I was afraid. I was ashamed for who I am. And so I hid from you. And God's response is this: who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Who told you that? It's crazy. God doesn't say you're wrong. He doesn't say you're sin. He doesn't say you're messed up. He just confronts the lie immediately. Who told you? It's like a father, if a daughter says, Dad, I'm so ugly. He's like, get the bat. Who told you? Who told you that? Tell me his name. Where does he live? Right? Who told you? And this is the father heart of God saying, who told you that? Who told you that you weren't enough? Who told you you couldn't get healed? Who told you don't get your hopes up? Who told you the glory days were behind you? Who told you that you weren't qualified? Who told you you couldn't make it? Who told you that? It wasn't me. There's only one explanation. You must be eating from the tree of knowledge. That's the only explanation, because I would never tell you that.
I would never tell you all this stuff about your lack. I would never say all that stuff. Who told you you couldn't get over your depression? Who told you you were a victim? Who told you that it's never going to go well? Who told you this is the life you're stuck in? It wasn't me. That's not the identity I gave you. The devil, what's crazy is he doesn't even confront the devil right here immediately. He first confronts the lie. He doesn't say, oh, the devil, I hate you. He turns and he says, wait, you've been eating from the wrong source. And he empowers you and says, no, it's the devil's there, yes, but you chose to eat from the wrong source for your identity. What do you feed yourself with? Do you feed yourself with everything God says you are? Or do you feed yourself with everything the devil says you lack? Whatever you focus on, that's gonna be where you go. So what do we do? How do we get our identity back? Well, God immediately in this moment, I love this, then he turns and he deals with them. He says, you guys chose to believe a lie. You've been eating the wrong thing. But then he turns to the devil. And this is where dad gets his bat out. I love this part. He says, in Genesis 3:15, he says, he's speaking to the serpent. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head. Like, I'm gonna crush your skull. Right? And he says, and you will strike his heel. This is the very first prophecy of Jesus. In the place they fell, the first prophecy of Jesus is released. They didn't have to get up, wash themselves off, work hard, and then Jesus came. In their falling, immediately, the prophecy of Jesus is released. This is my first point. How do we get our identity back? Look to Jesus in the area you fell. Look to him in the spot you fell. Don't try to clean yourself up, get up, do all this stuff. Right where you fell, look to Jesus right there. Because that's where his prophecy of him coming through is going to be. If you fell into lust, give your lust to God and turn to Jesus there. If you fell in your anger, turn to God and give it to him. If you fell in your depression, right in that spot, give it to God and turn to him. Look to Jesus in the place that you fell. That's the first step to gaining this identity back. We have to look to what did Jesus do? In Luke 4:1, it says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing. This is just beans and rice and Jesus Christ right here. Jesus ate nothing all the time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. Sound familiar? Challenges his identity as a son. If that's really you, if you're actually a son, don't rely on the creator. Take something from this creation and feed on that. It's the exact same strategy again. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people don't live by bread alone. What Adam is unable to do in the garden, Jesus is able to do in the desert. And in the very spot in the desert, he stands on the word of God. No, God said this. This is the next one. How do you get your identity back? You have to speak out the scriptures. You have to speak out. Whatever area you're struggling in, find and speak out the scriptures in that area. The devil cannot touch someone who knows who they are and what God has called them to do. I'll give you an example. You feel completely worried about your future, and the devil's like, did God really say you had a future? You say, yes, Jeremiah 29:11. It says God knows the plans he has for me, plans to prosper me, plans to give me hope, and a what, devil? Future. Thank you very much, right? You have to like get stubborn about speaking out the scriptures of God. Are you really valuable? Yes. Ephesians 2:10 says, I am the masterpiece of God. That's not my words. That's his words. He said, I'm his masterpiece. And that's humble because I'm agreeing with what God said. This isn't my opinion. This is God's opinion. In the Garden of Gethsemane, right before Jesus then gets arrested, we see this beautiful moment. Luke 22:39, he says, Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. Other translations say that he sweated blood, right? So what does Jesus do in his last moments of freedom? He returns to the garden. Remember, the garden was the symbol of delight of God. It was a symbol of intimacy with God. What does Jesus choose to do with his last free hour on this earth? Sit in the garden and pray. return to the delight of God. Position yourself there and pray. How do we begin to walk back into our identities? Go back to the garden. Go back to the fact that God delights in you. Sit in God's light. And you might sit there and be like, I don't believe it, God. I don't like myself, but you delight in me. And from that position of knowing you delight in me, I'm going to begin to pray. Starting from the position of the garden. Jesus returns to the garden. And in the garden, he makes a choice. Adam in the garden said, not your will, God, mine. Jesus goes back to the garden and says, not my will, God, but yours. And he does once again the exact foil, the exact opposite of what Adam does. And what's crazy is he bleeds. And we know the Bible says that by his stripes we're healed. By his blood, we get our identities back. It's who we are, right? It's because of his blood. Where was the first place Jesus bled? The first place we fell, the garden. The very spot where we fell is the first spot he bleeds to buy back. And in the place where we lost our identity was the place he goes to shed his first blood. And in that moment, when he sheds the blood, he buys back everything you lost in the garden. He buys back in that same, in the garden again. That you're a son, you're a daughter, that you have dominion, right? That you have authority, that you're an ambassador of God, that you're a conqueror. This is who you are. This is what he bought back for you in that garden, in that moment. And then Jesus, he goes to the cross, and it says that he is killed on the cross on the top of a mountain named Golgotha. And Golgotha, in the original language, means skull. And Jesus, on the skull, destroys the devil. Kind of like the word he gave him back in the garden where he said, I'm going to crush your skull. And he fulfills what fell in the garden. On the skull, he defeats death, right? And so how do we then, the last thing, how do we walk in our identities, right? First, you look to Jesus, speak out the scriptures, return to God's delight, return to the garden and pray. The last one is this, you have to enforce the victory of Christ. This is the hardest one, in my opinion. This is the one where you have to daily speak this thing out. I remember I used to live with Matt and Annie, and I had a whiteboard in the room, and I would write out all the declarations, and I would sit there with tears in my eyes, pacing in my room, and I would just be yelling out the declarations of, this is who God says I am. This is who God says I am. This is who God says I am. And I would drill that identity into my heart over and over, against my feelings, against my fear, against my shame and my past, against my thoughts, against my worries about the future, whatever it is. I said, I have to enforce what this says is true. More than what this says it's true, what this says is true right here, right? I have to speak it out until I feel it. And then when you feel it, you'll continue speaking it out because you finally feel it, right? But you have to speak it out until you feel it. And I'm just going to give you a window. Is that okay? We're wrapping up. Can I give you a window into what it looked like? This is what it looked like for years, me alone in my room. I would look up all these verses and I would speak out my identity in Christ. And I would just say, I am alive with Christ. That's Ephesians 2:5. I am free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8:2. I am born of God, the evil one cannot touch me, 1 John 5:18. I am holy and without blame before him. I am God's child, for I am born again of an incorruptible seed of the word of God, and he lives in me. He abides in me forever. That's 1 Peter 1:23. I am God's masterpiece, Ephesians 2:10. I am a new creature in Christ. I am the joint heir with Christ. I am more than a conqueror. I'm going to get over this circumstance because I am more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I am a part of a chosen generation. I am a royal priesthood. I am a part of a holy nation. I have been elected. I have been chosen by God to change this world. I am above. I'm not below. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. Oh, God's mercy is enough for me. I am humble before God, right? I am forgiven. I'm delivered. There is no condemnation in Christ, right? You got to get stubborn. I am called by God. And every day I look at what the devil says, you're lack, and I say, no. And I would turn to Father God and say, this is who I choose to be. This is who I am. I choose to get my identity from you, God, not from him, not from this world. And when I feel shame, when I feel fear creep in, I am not going to run to fig leaves. I'm going to run to the Father to cover me. I'm going to hear him say, where are you, Taylor? Who told you that lie? Come back. This is your God-given identity. You're not defined by anything of this world. You are defined by Christ and who he made you to be. God's crying out, where are you? Who told you that? It's time to look to Jesus where you fell. Don't get up, try to figure it out, and then go to Jesus. In the mud, where you fell, turn to him. He's not afraid of mud. He made you out of it. He'll use it. Speak out the scriptures. Return to the garden. Return to the delight of God and pray and enforce the victory of Christ. This is how you get your identity back. Live in the identity God gave you. Come on. You got to get some pizza for that pizza parlor. You got to stop being okay with strawberry ice cream. Get the real thing. Let's stand together. We're going to pray and we're going to take a moment. This is something I do with my youth kids a lot, and it's something that really helped me. And I just do these four R's when I call them. If you've been here long, you've seen me do this. It changed my life. One is repent, then receive, rebuke, and replace. I'm going to walk us through that real quick as our prayer of just returning our identities back to God. First off, we got to repent, guys. We have to stop blaming the devil. We chose to eat the fruit. The devil was in the garden, and he didn't say, well, it's because of the devil. He says, no, you ate this thing. You chose to eat this. And we have to call it what it is. Anytime we agree with an insecurity over agreeing with God, we are choosing that tree over God, and we have to repent. We have to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to change my mindset. I'm going to turn from that tree. I'm going to turn back to you. And so right now, just take a moment in your own words and say, God, I repent for believing those lies about my identity. You before God right now. So God, I'm sorry for believing fear, believing shame. Sorry for defining myself from my past. I repent for eating from the tree of knowledge. Let's just say this together. Just say, God, we repent for agreeing with the devil's lies. We repent for agreeing with our insecurity. We repent for agreeing with shame. Accepting fear. We repent for hiding from you. Come on, this is a good part. The next part is receive. You got to receive his forgiveness. So many of us will just keep beating ourselves, repenting, but we never actually receive his washing. And that's just as important. You have to receive his forgiveness. The cross is enough to forgive you. And so just say, we receive your forgiveness. We receive your washing. Your blood is enough. And we receive our identity back. We let you find us. Come on. This one's really fun. We're just going to rebuke the serpent right here. This is where the dad comes out with the bat and crushes the skull, right? This is all right here. It says, so just say, in Jesus' name, we rebuke you, Satan. We rebuke all the lies. We rebuke all the insecurities. Satan, your skull is crushed. Come on. In Jesus' name, get out of my life. Get out of my garden. Come on. That feels good, doesn't it? That feels good. Your dad's running in the room, kicking that guy out, right? Here we go. Finally, we're just going to replace it. This is the hardest one, guys. This is from this moment. You don't turn back. From this moment, you say, no, I'm clean. From this moment, you don't look backwards. You replace it and you walk out in the truth, okay? Here we go. You're just going to replace it with this truth and say it over your day. Just say, I am back in the garden of delight. Come on. I have perfect relationship through Christ. Because of Jesus, I have authority. I am a conqueror.
I am an heir. I have an inheritance. I have no shame, no fear. I love who I am. God likes me, so I like me. Come on, you got to declare that stuff out every day over you. So, Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for what you're doing. Just open your hands. Father, we surrender all that stuff, and we grab onto you today, our God-given identity in you. Father, I ask that you would, like a hound of heaven, you would follow us down. You would yell out, where are you? Who told you that? To any time we bring up a lie, and that today would be a day when we turn back to the garden, we turn back to our identity in you, that we're defined by Christ above all else. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. With every eye closed in the room, if you today you want to rededicate your life back to the Lord, if this is the very first time that you've never given your heart to Jesus and you're hearing my words, you say, there's truth in this. Jesus has to be real. I want to be back with him. And if that's you, can you just raise your hand right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. And let's just pray this all together today. Say, Jesus, I make you my Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive all of my sins. And from this day forth, I'll follow you. Make me a true disciple. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give it up for the Lord, guys.
Wasn't that powerful? Come on. I told you were going to get blessed. It's going to be so good. Hey, I have a great word for you next week, and this was really powerful because I'm watching you preach and I'm seeing how God's fitting together a puzzle, and even as you're getting your identity restored this way, there's relationships this way, and so this today you dealt this way vertically, and next week we're going to go that way horizontal. It's going to be powerful, so I just bless you, and just stretch your hands out towards this man. Does camp, does word, does all that. I pray you would refresh him, bless him, multiply. Even as he's watered, let him be watered. I thank you for an awesome staff. I thank you for blessing him and surrounding him with favor as a shield in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week. There is a team up here if you need prayer. Come on. You're welcome to hang out. We love you.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.